I'll tell you real quickly a quick story there. That song makes me cry. Of course, a lot of stuff makes me cry. Well, you get my age, you understand that. But I've got a granddaughter who will turn 17 here in just a few days, and she had a grandmother, great-grandmother actually, on the other side of the family. This wasn't my side of the family. It was her mom's side of the family. She's our son's daughter. But her grandmother was a pretty strong Christian lady, and Kaylee, my granddaughter, and her grandmother were pretty close. And her grandmother was near death, but Kaylee wasn't there. So Kaylee was able to call her grandmother from my other son's home. She was with her cousins, and she was talking with her grandmother, and she said, "Can I sing this song for you?" And this is the one she sang. And while she was singing that song, her grandmother Annabelle went home to be with the Lord. In the middle of the song, touches me. For those of you who haven't heard this story, I'll tell you one more story before I get into this. When I was a younger man, my grandfather lived to be an old, old man. He died when he was 97. But I was living in Texas at the time, and they called me and they said, "If you want to see him before he dies, you better come back to Tennessee now, because he's not going to make it much longer." So I made it back to Tennessee. When I got here, he was in the hospital and in a coma. He wasn't responding to anything at all. But he loved to sing. He and my grandmother both. When I was little, they taught me to love to sing. That's one reason I like to sing, is because they taught me that at an early age. And so I thought, well, I know a lot of people who are in a coma who seem to not be there. Sometimes they can hear when they can't respond. So I sat down with an old hymn book by his bedside in the hospital and just started going through the ones I knew and started singing them to him. And I was singing and singing and singing. And I got to the song, "When We All Get to Heaven." You remember that old song? Some of you may know that old song. And I started singing it. Well, I got to the chorus, and I choked up because I knew he was getting close. And so I stopped and tried to get my composure, kind of like I am right now. And after a few seconds, he started singing the chorus. And when he started singing the chorus, that got me going again. And I sang with him. And when we finished that chorus, he went back into the coma. That was the last thing he ever did. So the Lord gave me that really sweet experience. And now he's given kind of a similar experience to my granddaughter. I thought it was really sweet. And that's the song she was singing. So I love it. All right. Well, before Christmas, we started looking at how to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know where the word gospel comes from, by the way? You know what it means, don't you? It's Old English, and it means good news. So we call it the good news. The gospel of Jesus means the same thing. And I introduced you at the time to a couple of questions that we call the diagnostic questions. Now, I know that's been several weeks ago, but I'm just curious if any of you can remember the gist of either of those diagnostic questions. I don't expect you to remember them word for word, but is anybody willing to take a shot at what you think one of those diagnostic questions was? Okay, I see some hands. Okay, go ahead.
If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven?
Okay, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Would you have eternal life? Very good. That was the first one. Is that the one you were going to say, or do you know the other one?
It's if you were, if you met God face to face, and he was like, "Why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your answer?"
Wow. Arabella and Annabella, thank you so much. That's really good. Landon, what were you going to say? Same one she said? Okay, great. Great. Well, I'm proud of you remembering. I bet more of you sort of remembered it. Maybe you just weren't quite as courageous as they were, but I appreciate that. Yeah, the first question is, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that you have eternal life? You know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. And the reason we emphasize the certainty is because God emphasized it in 1 John 5:13. "These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life." And if you sang that song just now, you said, "My chains are gone. I've been set free." I hope that's really true for you. It's not just some words, but your chains really are gone. And they are if you've trusted Christ. The second diagnostic question was this one. And this is when Arabella said, "Suppose something were to happen to you and you were to die today. And suppose you found yourself standing before God. And suppose he were to ask you, 'Why should I let you in?' What would you say?" And so we talked about that for a while. We won't go over all that again. And then I brought up 5 points that we use to summarize the gospel. There are 5 points, and I've shared them kind of quickly, and then we started looking at one of them before Christmas. Can any of you remember any of the 5 main points? Any of them at all? It's a little harder question, isn't it? One of them, the first one we started looking at last time, starts with a G. What do we need from God?
Grace.
Grace, very good. Yes, grace. That was the first one. The second one we haven't talked about yet, we'll talk about it a little bit today, is man. The third one is God. The fourth one is Christ. And the fifth one is faith. Those are the main points. And there's some sub-points underneath those. Grace is what we looked at last time. Heaven is a free gift. It can't be earned or deserved. We looked at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Many of you memorized that. The wages of sin is death. But the what? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It has to be a gift. We can't earn it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the what? Gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So that's a really important verse. And then we looked at a couple of illustrations. You may remember those. I won't go over those again today. But one about a priceless cabinet that somebody made for you, and another one about a very expensive gift that your friend gave and you tried to offer him a couple of bucks. The second point in the outline is man. And there are two things, there are really lots of things the Bible teaches about us that we need to know. But when we're sharing the gospel, there are two things we need to be sure to remember to share about man. It's very, very important. We want to make sure people understand this. One is that man is a sinner. And the other is our sin's a lot more serious than we think. We can't save ourselves. It's serious stuff. Romans 3:23 teaches us, for all, you see that word, don't you? A-L-L, all have sinned. That's not the only verse that teaches that. There are other verses that say things like, there's none that doeth good. No, not even one. We're all sinners, all of us. And most people will agree to that. When you talk to them about the fact that we're all sinners, most people say, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. There are a few people who will try to kind of redefine sin. And they'll say, well, I don't think I'm a sinner because I've never killed anybody. I've never raped anybody. I've never molested a kid or anything. I've never robbed a bank. And they think of these horrible things. And they say, no, I've not done any of that stuff. But then when we start pointing out, well, you know, the Bible says anything that's displeasing to God is sin. You know, have you ever been selfish? Well, yeah. Have you ever told lies? Yeah. Had ugly thoughts? Oh, yeah. Maybe you've not been generous when you should have been generous? Yeah, I guess so. Maybe not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? I'm probably guilty of that. Ever lost your temper? Yeah, maybe a while ago. You ever get irritated when things don't go your way? Yeah. Ever been lazy or undisciplined? Oh, yeah, all the time. Maybe don't read your Bible enough? Maybe not pray enough? I mean, when we start thinking all these things are sin, almost everybody will say, yeah, I'm guilty. Where a lot of people drop the ball, though, guys, and this is really important, is understanding how serious it is. We already looked earlier at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Not just a slap on the wrist. Not just a shame on you, but death. It's pretty serious stuff. And then there's a verse in Galatians 3:10. Very serious. He says, for as many as are of the works of the law, he's talking to people who are trying to be good enough to please God. It's called legalism, where you're trying really hard to be good. God says, you can't do it. You can't do it. As many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all things that are written in the book of the law. Do you hear what he's saying? If you're not perfect, you know, if you don't continue to do all that's written in the law, if you're not perfect, you're under a curse. And that word curse is a heavy, strong word in the Bible. It implies that you're under God's judgment. You're under the wrath of God. Jesus one time said that those who were cursed would be cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's serious stuff. And then there's a verse over in James chapter 2 that says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, just one point, you're guilty of all. As far as God's concerned, you've got sin in you, and that's all of us. And we've got to understand that and make sure we communicate that well. So it may seem to us sometimes, and especially in the world we live in, I've got little sins, but it's really not that big a deal. God says, oh, yes, it is. It's a bigger deal than you realize. And we got to think God's way instead of the world's way. The world will say, that's trivial. God says, no, it's serious. He also put another verse to help us with this in Proverbs chapter 12. Some of you may have memorized it. If you haven't, it'd be a good one to memorize. He said, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He said, there's a way that to your little human brain, your little mind, you say, well, I don't see a big deal here. And God says, it is a big deal. It may seem right to you, but God says it can lead to death. Now, there's several illustrations that can help us understand sin better, what God says about sin. And I'm going to share a few of them with you here until I run out of time. One of them is called Three Sins a Day. So here's how it works. Suppose that you were a really, really good person. You know all those things I listed a while ago that are sins, losing your temper, thinking bad thoughts, getting irritated, all that stuff, being selfish. Suppose you only did that. You were such a good person, you only did it maybe 10 times a day. That's a pretty good person. But the rest of the day, you've been just perfect. But 10 times, you kind of dropped the ball. Well, let's suppose you're even better than that. Let's say only 5. That's a really, really good person. And then maybe even better than that. Let's suppose you're so good that you only drop the ball 3 times in a day. Only 3 times do you get lazy, or 3 times do you get selfish, or 3 times do you get irritated. But only 3 times a day would you think bad thoughts. You know how many sins that would be in a year? 3 sins a day. How many days in a year? 365. So it's going to be over what? Over 1,000. Yeah, over 1,000. 1,000 sins in a year. Now suppose that you live to be a ripe old age and maybe you're 70 years old. How many would that be? 1,000 a year? 70 years? 70,000? Think about what it would be like for you if you were arrested on some charge here on earth and you had to appear before a human judge. And you stand before the judge and the judge says, okay, let's see what the charges are against you. And he opens this big file and he says, good grief, you got 70,000 violations of the law on your record. What kind of chance do you think you're going to have? You think he's going to say, ah, forget it, going home? No, he's a just judge, if he's a good judge, and God's more just than any human judge could ever be. He's got to deal with that. Sin is serious. Here's another illustration. We call it the omelet illustration. Suppose you're going to have some friends over for supper, and you decided, I'm going to fix them a nice, large egg omelet. I'm going to stir some eggs together and make an omelet. It'll be a fun supper. So you get out a big bowl and you start breaking eggs into it. And you break 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 nice fresh eggs. And then you take that 7th one out and you break it. It's rotten. You ever smelled a rotten egg? It's disgusting. And you look at it and you say, well, I mean, there's 6 good ones in there. Surely one bad one would be such a big deal. So you just stir it in. Are you going to serve that to your guests? No, are you going to eat it yourself? No way. No way you're not going to. And that's kind of what we do with God. We say, okay, God, look, I know there's some rottenness here, but really, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff too. I've done some good deeds. See, the rottenness is what messes us up. So we don't need to try it with God either. Here's another illustration, very similar. Suppose that you had a friend who came to your house one day and he's been out working. It's been a really hot day and he's sweaty and he's thirsty and he says, could you give me a glass of water? And you say, sure I can. I've got some cold water here in the fridge. Here's a glass. I'll pour you a glass full of water. And you pour him a glass full of water and there's beads on the outside of the glass. It looks nice and cold. And just before he drinks, you say, wait just a second. I got to add one little tiny drop of raw sewage in there. Is that okay? And you drop it in. Is he going to drink it? Not if he's got any sense. I mean, you say, well, wait a minute. It's 99% pure here. Most of it is pure water. It's just a little bit of sewage. But that little bit of sewage makes it unacceptable. That's the way sin is in our lives. Serious. Here's another one. It's called the broad jump illustration. Suppose that everybody in the world is running from some great danger. There's something that's going to kill everybody. And they're running and they're running and they're running and they get up to the edge of a cliff. And here's the edge of the cliff. And their only hope is to jump from here to the other side of the gorge. There's another cliff over here. You got to jump. The problem is, it's 100 feet. Got any idea what the world's record is for a broad jump? Not even close, is it? 30-something feet, maybe? So what have you got? Well, you got some people that are athletic, and they jump out there 20 or 30 feet. You got other people like me that might jump a foot or two. Yeah, some people, all they can do is fall over the edge, you know? But they're all going to wind up in the same place, right? I mean, just because some of them are really, really good, they don't meet the standard. They can't jump 100 feet. And God says, well, I've got a standard. My standard's perfection. Are you close? No. No, none of us get close. Here's another one. Many years ago now, I lived for a couple of years in Florida. And in the front yard of my house, we had a lemon tree. And suppose I said, you know what? It's okay to have a lemon tree, but I'd rather have an orange tree. So I go out there one night, and I pull off all the lemons, and I take a bunch of oranges and tie them on the tree real carefully. And then you come up to my house and say, oh, you got an orange tree in your house. I'm smiling. Yeah, I got an orange. But I know that's not really an orange tree. It's a lemon tree. I can make it look like an orange tree. That didn't make it an orange tree. And the point of that is sometimes we can try really hard to be good. And to some people, we can look pretty good. We can look like maybe a real Christian. But God knows our heart. Maybe we're a lemon tree and we're trying to look like an orange tree. There's another one that's similar to that. Suppose that the government hired you to be a spy. They're going to send you to China to be a Chinese spy. And in order to do that, they got a lot of work with you for a long time. So they say, okay, we're going to invest several years in your life. We're going to teach you the Chinese language so well that you'll speak just like a native Chinese person. They won't be able to tell your accent. You'll be perfect. And we're going to teach you how to do this. And so they do. And they teach you all the customs of China and all the habits and the mannerisms. So you know how to fit in just right. They even do plastic surgery on you, extensive plastic surgery. So you look just like the Chinese person. And you go over there, and sure enough, you fool them all. They all think you're Chinese. Are you Chinese? No, you're still an American. You just look like Chinese. You're acting like Chinese, but you're not really Chinese. There's some people like that as far as Christ is concerned. They look like it, but they're not real. One more, and I'll stop with this one. Sometimes, when you talk to people, and especially nowadays, I mentioned this earlier, they'll say, oh, you know what? My conscience is clear. I'm cool. I'm good to go. You want a good thing to say to them is, you know what? There are a lot of people that claim their conscience is clear. But if you ask psychologists and people who study the mind and how our mind works, they'll tell you that most of the stuff that we've done that's wrong, there's something called suppression and there's something called repression. We just kind of put it out of our minds. So when somebody says they have a clear conscience, what they're really saying is, I got a bad memory. That's what it is. Because all of us have sin. We just, some of us have repressed it pretty well. We just need to remember that, guys. We're all sinners. We need grace. We need God's forgiveness. It's our only hope. And sin is a lot more serious than a lot of people think. God says it's very, very deadly. Every one of us, we need Him. And He's the only one that can fix it, okay? We'll talk more about the gospel next time. Has anybody got anything you want to add before I pray? Okay, Father, thank you so much for these wonderful kids and these wonderful teachers and workers, Lord, here. Thank you for their attentiveness. Thank you for the way they're listening and trying to learn. Lord, help us all to stay teachable. We've all got a lot to learn, Father. And Lord, help us to understand just a little bit better than we have before the truth that you've given us in your word about the gospel, about the good news. Help us to understand better than we've ever understood it before that it's only by your grace that we can be saved. It has to be a gift. And Lord, help us to understand better than we've ever understood it before that our sin is very deadly and very serious. And Father, that's hard to communicate to people these days, but help us somehow. We pray you would work in people's hearts, people we love, and help us to know how to communicate with them so that they might see the truth and be able to come to Christ as well. Lord, if there are any kids or any adults or anybody who may have doubts about all of this, who may have questions, I pray you'd give them the courage to ask and have some conversations about these things so we can get it clear in our minds. Thank you so much for all your blessings. Thank you for that wonderful song we sang. Thank you for Amanda. Lord, it's just such a sweet song. Thank you for giving us that beautiful song. Help us to sing it unto you every time we sing it. Use us now the rest of the day to bring yourself glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.